In this, the first of 12 talks, Dr. Joseph Martos discusses the basic meaning of sacrament. Dr. Martos has studied philosophy and theology in New York, Rome, Boston, and Chicago, and has taught in over half a dozen colleges and universities around the United States. He is the author of two books, Doors to the Sacred, which presents a detailed historical picture of the sacraments, and The Catholic Sacraments, which is a modern introduction to sacramental theology. Further information and bibliographical material regarding the topics of these talks can be found in these two books.
What is a sacrament? Not very long ago, Catholics could give a standard answer to that question, one which they had memorized from the Baltimore Catechism. But contemporary theologians and laypeople alike have discovered that, on close inspection, that standard definition is full of difficulties and discrepancies. The Catechism definition, remember, said that a sacrament is an outward sign instituted by Christ to give grace. Yes, a sacrament is an outward sign, a church ceremony. But then, how can we say, as we have traditionally said, that sacraments are received? How can people receive a sign? When we say that a person has received the sacrament of baptism or penance or marriage, do we mean that they received a church ceremony? Next, what about the institution of the sacraments by Christ? Biblical scholars today suggest that there is less about the sacraments in the scriptures than meets the eye. Only two of the seven liturgical sacraments, baptism and Eucharist, seem to be directly traceable to Jesus and his times. The other five go back to various early periods in the Church's history, and there is certainly a sense in which it is true that all of the sacraments are based on the life and work of Jesus. But is this the same as saying that the sacraments were instituted or initiated by Christ? Finally, the sacraments were said to give grace. But this way of speaking makes grace seem like a commodity which can be given and gotten. Is grace really that? And if grace can be received, isn't it true that all grace comes from God? Why then should we say that the sacraments give grace? Our traditional way of speaking and thinking about the sacraments, therefore, is fraught with difficulties. This is why contemporary theologians have turned in other directions to find a more satisfactory way of understanding the sacraments in today's church. These theologians have used the resources of historical studies and philosophical analysis, as well as the findings of psychology and sociology, to arrive at a more accurate picture of what sacraments are and the role that they play in the life of the Christian community and the individual Christian. What, then, is a sacrament? Let's begin with a simple analysis of the word itself. It contains a Latin root meaning sacred or holy, and a suffix meaning tangible or concrete. Looked at in this way, a sacrament is something which is both sacred and tangible. A sacrament is therefore something within our own experience which puts us in touch with the sacred, which makes us mindful of what is holy. One of the oldest definitions of the word sacrament is also one of the simplest. It is that a sacrament is a sign of something sacred. St. Augustine in the 4th century, using this definition, noted that in a certain sense everything in the created universe is a sacrament, because anything which is created is a sign of its creator. But there is an experiential or spiritual, or we might even say psychological, dimension of the sacraments which is overlooked by this simple definition. The simple definition suggests that here is the sign and there is the sacred, the way an arrow points to an object or the way that the label on a box indicates its contents. Sacraments in our religious experience do more than just signify the sacred. What they do is symbolize the sacred. Now, a symbol, we can say, is something in the presence of which we sense the presence of what it stands for. A symbol is a sign which makes us inwardly aware of what it signifies. Every country in the world, for example, has a national sign or flag. When we look at those flags, we think of the countries that they signify. But when we look at our own flag, sometimes something more than that happens. We sense something stirring within us. The land and the people, the freedom and liberty that the flag stands for, are somehow evoked by the flag itself, and we respond to those felt realities with feelings of loyalty, perhaps, or patriotism. At times like this, the flag functions as a symbol, making us inwardly aware of what it signifies. In the same way, a wedding ring, a souvenir, or a photograph can be just a sign, or they can be a symbol. They are symbols when they cause us to be aware of the realities that they stand for, and when they help us to feel the presence of those realities in our lives, realities such as the love of our spouse, the time when we obtain the souvenir, the person or the place in the photograph. Somehow, when we stand in the presence of a symbol, the reality which is symbolized invades our consciousness and becomes present to us. Through the thought processes of memory and imagination, and through the emotional processes of inner sense and feeling, the reality which is symbolized somehow becomes real again for us. We don't yet understand completely how this works, but almost everyone can identify experiences of this sort in their own memory. Think about a time when you were rummaging through the attic or basement, and you came across something that reminded you of your childhood, your parents, or even your grandparents. And the experience was so real that you not only remembered them, you somehow felt their presence. Or think about the time when you saw an old snapshot and you suddenly felt the same feelings you felt when that picture was taken. Or think about the times when you were away from your family and loved ones, but something you saw reminded you of them, and suddenly they filled your mind and were a lot closer to you than the people who were in the same room with you. These are the same sorts of experiences which, in the area of religion, are referred to as experiences of the sacred, as religious experiences, or as sacramental experiences. They are not the only possible kinds of religious experiences, but they are one definite type of religious experience. They are experiences of someone divine or something sacred which is felt or perceived through something in our everyday world, an object, an action or gesture, a word or a statement in words. That something through which the sacred is perceived is, of course, a symbol. It can be a symbolic object, a symbolic action, a symbolic word, but the key point is that just as we sometimes see through a great painting to the reality which it represents, just as we sometimes perceive through a well-written poem or song certain values or ideals, for example, so also in a sacrament we are enabled to look through the words and actions and objects being used to perceive sacred realities, realities which are sacred to us. Now, I'm using the word sacred here in a very broad sense. I mean sacred in the sense of precious or important or valuable in a way that we can feel or perceive. I mean sacred in the sense that we experience the sacredness, the value, the importance of what it is that is sacred to us. In this broad, general sense of the word sacred, it is not only religious realities which can be considered sacred. Certain people and the friendship that we have with them can be very dear to us, so much so that we truly cherish that relationship. It is something sacred for us. Certain places and things can be really valuable in our eyes because of what they mean to us, because they are symbols of further realities which are important to us and which we associate with those places and things. The first tool that my father ever gave me, the place in the park where I first met my wife. These can be sacred to me because they remind me and reconnect me with precious, important realities. In the same way, the sacraments as signs and symbols put us into experiential touch with realities such as God's love and forgiveness, His spiritual power and healing strength, our unity in Christ and with Christ. These are realities which are experienced as sacred whenever we experience them, for they are just as sacred and precious and important as the love we receive from other people, the healing that they bring to our hurts, the unity and closeness that we feel towards them. Some of our experiences of the sacred, therefore, are religious experiences, but they are not all religious experiences. They may be experiences of beauty, or moments of insight, or times when we are deeply moved by something we see or hear. Sometimes, however, they are religious experiences, putting us in touch in some ineffable but discernible way with God, with Christ, with the Holy Spirit, or with the many realities that we associate with church, community, forgiveness, service, and so on. In a religious context or religious setting, these can be experiences such as we might have when we enter a beautiful cathedral and experience God's presence, when we look at a crucifix and sense Christ's great love for us, when we pray the rosary and appreciate the mysteries that it presents to us, when we make a crucio and experience a deep sense of our unity in Christ, when we attend a charismatic healing service and feel the healing power of the Holy Spirit. The Church's traditional name for those places and objects, words and actions, through which we experience the divine in some way, is, of course, sacramentals. The claim is not that sacramentals always put us in touch with the realities that they signify, but rather that they can put us in touch with them if we are open to them. Over and above the sacramentals, however, the Catholic Church has traditionally affirmed that there are seven important ecclesiastical rituals which are symbolic of the fundamental mysteries of the Christian religion. Baptism, the mystery of our unity in the community called church. Confirmation, the mystery of our maturing in the Christian way of life through the power of the Holy Spirit. Penance or reconciliation, the mystery of God's love and forgiveness. Anointing of the sick, the mystery of God's healing power. Holy orders, the mystery of redemption through sacrifice and ministry. Marriage, the mystery of fidelity and self-giving within the family. Eucharist, the mystery of that unity with God and others which comes from uniting ourselves with the death and resurrection of Christ. The seven sacraments are therefore signs of the central and fundamental mysteries of Christianity, not in the abstract, but in the concrete working out of Christians' lives in the church, not in theory, but in practice, in practical life. The sacraments are signs, but they are a special type of signs. They are symbols, because they enable us to contact on an experiential level the mysterious realities that they symbolize. Moreover, they are a special type of symbols, that is, they are not static, motionless symbols like a flag or emblem or crucifix. Rather, they are symbols in motion. They are active symbols. They are symbolic actions, rituals, or ceremonies composed of words and actions which have a certain rhythm or dynamic of their own. When we fully participate in a sacramental ritual, we get drawn into its rhythm, as it were, the way we get drawn into a poem or play or piece of music when we fully attend to it and really get into it. And when that happens, when we participate deeply in the sacramental ritual, it functions, as it were, as a door to the sacred, as a way of entering into the mystery, of experiencing the reality that it represents, of encountering the divine in an almost indescribable yet recognizable way. Sacraments, therefore, as they are understood in current Catholic theology, are primarily understood as actions. They are ritual symbolic actions. They are ecclesiastical rites, liturgical actions. And this is why contemporary theologians and liturgists tend to shy away from speaking about the sacraments as though they were things. One of our time-honored ways of speaking about the sacraments has been to speak about administering and receiving the sacraments. As we shall see in a later discussion, There were valid historical reasons why Christians settled into a language of giving and getting in talking about the administration and reception of the sacraments. But this way of speaking about sacraments tends to make us look upon them as things which can be given and as things which can be received. However, once we recognize and admit that sacraments are basically liturgical ceremonies or symbolic actions, which draw us into the mysteries of our faith and which open up the possibility of encountering God, then it is no longer helpful to talk about receiving the sacraments, and it is better to speak about participating in the sacraments or celebrating the sacraments. For the more deeply we participate in them, the more fully we celebrate what they symbolize, the more it is likely that we will experience the mysteries of our faith and the mystery which is God. Yet, on the other hand, we have to admit that very often our participation in sacramental rituals is not very sacramental. That is, our participation in the sacraments does not necessarily lead us to a religious experience. Sometimes we attend sacramental celebrations and nothing seems to happen as far as religious experience goes. And from this, we can see that there are two ways of being present at a sacramental ritual. The first is attending, looking on, being present at. It's a matter of physical presence, such as when we are physically present at Mass, even though our mind is somewhere else. The second type of presence is participation, getting into it, being present to. It's a psychological, spiritual, personally involved presence. Moreover, it is only in this latter case that the Catholic sacraments are doors to the sacred. They are always signs of the sacred insofar as they signify something beyond themselves, but they are not always fully symbolic. They are not always sacramental in the broader, more existential sense, in that they represent certain mysteries to us and make them experientially present to us. You could say, therefore, that in order for the Church's sacraments to be doors to the sacred for us, there has to be a double presence operating. Not only do we have to be physically present at the ritual, but we also have to be open to God and present to God. We have to be present to the sacred mysteries which the sacrament represents in order for the reality to be present to us. It is when we are mentally and spiritually present to God, therefore, when we are deeply entering into the experience of the mystery revealed by each of the sacraments, that the sacraments can be truthfully and realistically said to have an effect on us. Again, in our Catholic heritage, we have a time-honored way of speaking about the sacraments as effective signs. We speak about the sacraments as being efficacious. And there is an experiential basis for this way of speaking about the sacraments. When traditional theology talks about the sacraments being effective, that is, having spiritual effects on people, what it is talking about is sacramental rituals in which people are actively involved and personally present so that they experience the presence of mystery or some other effect as a result. It is something of a mistake, therefore, to think that sacraments have effects even when nobody experiences any effects. It is a mistake to say that all sacraments are automatically effective even when there is no evidence that the ritual has affected the lives of Christians in the way that it is supposed to. This is not to deny, of course, that various sacraments always have certain effects which are not necessarily religious experiences. Baptism, for example, always makes you a Catholic. Marriage makes you married. Ordination makes you a priest, and so on. These are social effects of the sacraments, or, to use a theological term for this, these are ecclesial effects of the sacraments, and each of the sacraments has some social or ecclesial effects. Just what are those social effects? Those who study religious rituals, rituals not only in Christianity but also in other religions, speak about the two primary effects of symbolic ritual as being intensification and transition. All religious rituals have the effect of intensification. They intensify or increase the awareness that people have of what the ritual symbolizes when they are truly present to the symbol, participating in the ritual, and aware of its meaning. Some religious rituals, however, have an additional effect, the effect of transition, the effect of helping a person make a change or transition from one state to another. An example of Christian ritual which has this sort of effect is baptism. The sacraments of initiation signify and effect the person's transition from being outside the church to being a member of the Christian community. Marriage and ordination are also rather clearly transition rituals. They affect a change in people from one state in life to another. Not all sacraments, however, are transition rituals. Some are simply celebration rituals or rituals of intensification. The purpose of the Eucharist or Sunday liturgy, for example, is primarily to celebrate our unity together as Christians gathered together to worship God in prayer and sacrifice. The Eucharist, therefore, is mainly a celebration ritual, not a transition ritual, for in it we celebrate and intensify our realization of who we are and what we are called to be as followers of Christ. But the important point to notice here, in talking about the effects of the sacraments, is that much of our traditional sacramental theology, which talks about sins being forgiven, about Christ being present, and so on, comes out of people's religious experience and doesn't make any real sense to us unless we have similar religious experiences. Moreover, these experiences don't just happen automatically. We have to be prepared and open to letting them happen. This is not just a matter of willingness, that is, of being willing to let it happen, but it is a matter of preparedness, or, as the older theology called it, disposition. We have to be inwardly disposed to receiving the effects of the sacraments. A lot of that preparedness has to do with our faith, with what we are believing and living from day to day, as well as what we believe can happen during the sacramental ritual. In conclusion, then, what can we say about the sacraments? What can we say the sacraments are? What is a sacrament? And we can say that sacraments in the church today are liturgical rituals, ecclesiastical actions, which always signify in an objective and abstract way, and which sometimes symbolize in a subjective and experiential way, certain fundamental mysteries of the Christian faith, certain basic realities in the Christian way of life, the mysterious reality of our life together in Christ, the mystery of God's love and forgiveness, the reality of Christian family life and Christian ministry, and so on. These liturgical actions express or represent these mysterious realities, and because they do so, it is possible for us to enter deeply into the liturgical celebration and thus to become experientially aware of what they symbolize.